Well, I come from out of town and I've traveled many miles. Scraven's Big Valley Jamboree. Yes, I am the Bud Man by Georgia on the grandstand. Sing my song, keep good company. Now don't be shy to say hello to a person you don't know. You could do a Texas two-step, maybe dance kind of like Joe. Leave your worries far behind, you got the heat. Clap in time, let the music take you. Enjoy the country show. I'm craving for the sun to shine. I'm hoping you'll be a friend of mine. And we'll dance and we'll sing, have a brew or two. I'm craving for a bud like you. You must know that I'm not from Texas. I don't come from Nashville, Tennessee. I was born and raised on these western plains. So come on, sing along with me. Yeah, come on, boys. I'm craving for the sun to shine, and I'm hoping you'll be a friend of mine, and we'll dance and we'll sing, have a brew or two. I'm craving for a bud like you. I'm craving for the sun to shine, and I'm hoping you'll be a friend of mine, and we'll dance and we'll sing, have a brew or two. I'm craving for a bud like you. I'm craving for the sun to shine, and I'm hoping you'll be a friend of mine, and we'll dance and we'll sing, have a brew or two. I'm craving for a bud like you.
lock and dark beyond. Battling till his life he shed, leaving the throne to the sons of Summerland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 15th day of June, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is courage. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Cymru Ambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Again, pastordan.net. We do draw attention on that website to the Daily Mail page, where we keep current events, news items, economy items, health items, all kinds of stuff there. Research, identity research material, etc., is all put on there. Also, the homepage has information for any of the folks that would like to help us out financially, and a few of you do, of course, and we do appreciate that and ask Yahweh to bless your hearts. Thank you, Ella, for that feedback. And we have a Contact Us page there as well. For anybody that does not have my contact information, you can go there and use the Contact Us page on the website, PastorDan.net, and send me a note. I'll be glad to get back with you. Also, if you have any needs for consultation, mentoring, or even a group, whether it's individuals or a small group, who would like to do any kind of consulting, certainly give me a call. We can do a video conference. We can do just an audio conference, etc. These are trying times, as we're going to go through scripture and different things that I've been fed today and yesterday. That's why I chose the topic of courage, because the way things are going right now, courage is something we're all going to have to exhibit as we go forward. So I have a lot of quotes, a lot of scripture that have to do with the subject of courage and the end times that we're going to discuss. I just started a video with Mr. Bill Holter, who's an economist, being interviewed by Greg Hunter on USAWatchdog.com. Unfortunately, I did not have a time to listen to the entire interview, but I listened to enough of it that it coincided with information I had been given earlier today, I would say about 6 to 8 hours prior to watching the video. I had a conversation with a neighbor of mine who follows the markets quite a bit. He's an older gentleman, sort of semi-retired right now, but he traveled in some very high circles when he was a young man. And he's quite familiar with rather large financial dealings, the market, marketing techniques, also different financial things. So I tend to listen to what he says, and then especially when Bill Holter and several other articles that I read today reemphasized exactly what he was saying. Basically, we are in a recession. Now, the powers that should not be do not want us to realize that, but we have entered into a recession. And why do we say that? Well, something that would not have triggered my curiosity, but people in the know would, is the fact that the 30-year bond rate just went lower than the 20-year bond rate. Now, for guys like me that don't care about the stock market and the bonds and all that, I would have just ignored that. However, he made a point in the discussion I had with him to say that each and every time the 30-year bond rate dips below the 20-year bond rate, that is a trigger point to let you know that you are in a deep recession. And on top of that, the raising of the Fed rate and different things that are going like that are going on. And I'm not, this isn't fear porn, don't get me wrong, because Yahweh tells us to be educated, okay? Fear is not what we're going to push. We don't believe in fear. We are part of his remnant upon this earth. We have a job to do. But he also tells us to be as wise as the serpent. In other words, our job is to gather in intelligence, not for the sake of getting a leg up on somebody or trying to use it to finagle something or whatever. We gather intelligence so that we can figure out what's going on and then in turn assist our brethren in decision making so that we can be wiser than the serpent and we can be more innocent, much like a dove. That's what separates us from the rest of these bags of bones that are walking out around us, these zombies, okay? They want to gather information strictly to make money or to get an advantage, etc. We do not do it for that reason. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that to your attention since it was brought to mind. Mostly just as a heads up. A lot of people are saying, well, what do I put money into? Since obviously the market is shaky, you can't trust the bankers. I've never trusted the bankers. I keep just enough in there to pay bills with. That's it. If I can get to it, I'm going to get to the point where I can live on cash completely. I have not been able to do that as of yet, but I have a feeling doors may open here in the near future too. So, people keep asking what to put it in. Well, we've talked about proper preps on this program for a long time, but whatever your assets, you want to make sure you have your bases covered. Okay? As you go into tough times, you want to make sure you have enough resources on hand to cover your monthly bills for 2 to 3 months, minimum. In other words, if all the electronics dies, if they close the doors on the bank, etc. You should have enough finances available to you. You don't have to publicize what you did. I mean, where you put it, what form it's in, whether it's gold, silver, cash, whatever. But you should have enough reserves that you could pay your necessities for 2 to 3 months if everything shuts down. Now, obviously, if you can do that for longer, the better off you're going to be. But you definitely want at least 2 to 3 months minimum. The same thing goes with food and water and medicines and things like that. You want enough in your pantry, in your hiding space, in your bug out place, wherever you're going to put your stuff. You want enough that you can comfortably sit back if all hell is breaking loose around you to where you know you have your bases covered for 2 to 3 months. That is just common sense, okay? It used to be taught through the Boy Scouts and through church youth organizations and things like that, but we gave up all that because we listened to the sirens call of the Jewish-controlled media that just said, go to sleep. And the pastors, of course, ceased to be the watchdogs and the watchmen, and they too said, you know, go to sleep, don't worry about it. Everything's fine and everything will be okay. Just go back to sleep. Well, those of us with any kind of sense knew that that's not the right position for one of Yahweh's children. Ella says here, courage to hold on to the truth while the world falls for lies. We cannot compromise just to get along. Well, that's true. We don't have to compromise. But we also have to be very, very careful about the admonition in Proverbs where our father told us that, you know, one of the things he abhors is those who cause discord amongst the brethren. Okay, so again, you do not have to compromise on what your beliefs are, but at the same time, you have to be able to discern whether an item is worth causing discord amongst the brethren over it, because we will be held accountable for that. Okay, I'm just letting you know. we will be held accountable for that. So use proper discretion. Okay, again, we got a lot of things to cover. I'm going to read a note that was sent from South Africa to another gentleman in South Africa that I stay in touch with that keeps me abreast of what's going on over there. Very pro-Aryan, both of these gentlemen. But this is what this gentleman says he's going through, and see if you don't believe that this sounds familiar to what you and I and many of the people I talk to are going through. Okay, this is his letter to Jan. I'm the same way, Jan. These days, I field so many calls, emails, and texts from fellow whites or Caucasians starting to freak out. I could let it eat my entire day every day now if I let it. The kikes destroyed my very hard-earned, unique career over 2 years ago. All my friends cannot believe I'm not panicking whatsoever. Recently, I've had employers in my field call, but they are demanding I be vaccinated. I tell them F you, and most of my listeners should know what F you stands for. Work for less money because they think they have the upper hand knowing guys in the field desperate for work. He's paraphrasing here. His response to that, again, is F you. Okay, we'll pay you what you want, but you have to cram 2 weeks' worth of work into 3 to 4 days. And again, he responds, F you. Let me stop there for a minute. Before I finally left the career I had in the power industry, particularly the nuclear power industry, I worked many years as a contractor, very similar to this gentleman here, and I took note of the fact in the last 10 to 20 years, as the Jewish mindset entered into the corporations, the leadership of the corporations, from vice presidents, project managers, down to department heads and shop managers, etc., that they were doing this to everybody. They were creating a very hostile work environment. They wanted people to prove, why do we need to keep you on the payroll, which is very demeaning. They tried to get rid of people that would not kiss their ass, people that would stand their ground and tell the truth. They wanted ass kissers and people that would acquiesce to these monsters. And oftentimes the ones that were left in the company and were not laid off, they would work them twice as hard. So you can just picture the greedy Jews sitting in the boardrooms, etc., and they're rubbing their hands together about how stupid white people are. We have fired 30 to 40% of the workforce. Now we are demanding that the same work be done by a smaller workforce. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like the Hebrews being told that they have to make bricks without straw? Remember that when they were captive in ancient Egypt? And they were in servitude there. And because they dared to protest, they said, okay, well, now you can make bricks, but you're not going to get any straw to make your bricks. And for those folks that have ever made bricks, know that it's near impossible to make a proper brick without straw. So it's very similar. So nothing has changed, is my point. Okay. So we'll continue here with his letter. So he said, he answered this guy with an FU, then he said, I'm not going to give in 1 millimeter. I saw all this coming a long time ago, so he's similar to me. Sure, some basic prepping is common sense. We never should have lost that from our ancestors. I was literally just outside doing some work and came in to make some dinner. On the way in, I grabbed some weeds in the yard, mint leaf, dandelion leaves, raspberry leaves, and some onion shoots, and I made a salad. Vroom. Whatever. Bring it on, kikes. Whenever somebody calls and asks, What are you up to? I always answer the same way, preparing for war. Relax, everyone. Work on getting your mind harder. We cannot protect all that freeze-dried food and BS Mike Adams tells you to buy from him anyway. That's not the way to go about it. The last thing we should be doing right now is panicking. We should be calm and sharpening our swords. Hallelujah. And that was from a gentleman named Lonnie. So again, this pouring out of Yahweh's Spirit appears to be happening in many, many places, does it not? So a lot of our people are panicking when they should not be. Now, this is the difference between the Israelites and the rest of the Caucasian race. Okay, remember, one of the attributes of a true Israelite is that he's a loving, caring, and sharing individual, especially amongst our own kind. There are many people who share the DNA of the Caucasian race who do not have those attributes. So we have Caucasians who do not meet the qualifications of an Israelite. Now, amongst the Jacob Israelites, I'm sure there's a few who do not have the faith and follow the laws as they're commanded to do, but the vast majority of law keepers, I call them, that follow the laws of our Father, the vast majority of them are of the Israelite section of the Caucasian race, not the other way around. These are the white people that have the look of a deer staring into high beam lights on a car when you start talking about Yahweh, the identity message, the Jews, the lying preachers, the New World Order. They don't get it. Well, you have to let them go. And sometimes they may be people within your own blood family. Now, remember, a lot of people don't really know who's in their family. We had one of our regular attendees to these conference calls called in some time ago, and he had just found out that the daughters that he was raising were actually the daughters of other men. He had just found out because somebody ratted his wife out to him, and he proved it, that she had had children with other men, but told him that these were his daughters. So my point is this. There are many people walking around going, well, why does my sibling not understand? Or how could it be that this person's related to me and not this, this, or this? Or why is this white person over here calling themselves a Jew? Folks, things are so screwed up right now, and maybe they have been for a very long time, but you've got to go back to what Messiah told us. Judge them by their fruits, not by what's on a piece of paper coming from a court saying that X is married to Y, not a piece of paper saying this child is the child of X and Y. Now, odds are that the paperwork's correct, but if everything else is not adding up quite right, there's probably a good reason for it. Another case in point I can give you from personal experience, I know this lady very well, and she had never told anybody, she had never even told me this, she's in her 50s, but when she was a young lady in Miami, she got pregnant by her boyfriend, and she gave the child up for adoption. It's a long story why she did that. But she made the decision to give her daughter up for adoption. Well, many years later, the daughter is 30-some years old, and she wants to know who her real parents are because she knows that the Jewish couple that adopted her were not her parents. She just knew that. So she started checking, and sure enough, with enough persistence, she was able to find her biological parents. And so this lady was reunited with her daughter after a long hiatus. And strangely enough, the boy that got her pregnant had since divorced and was living alone, and they are now all a family again. So don't tell me minor miracles can't happen. So they are very happy all together. There's no animosity. They're getting along just fine. But the point of it is, this girl could have been looked at by many of our people, and they denounced her as being Jewish because she was raised by two Jewish people, when in fact she is not Jewish, but she is Caucasian. You see my point? So you got to be careful. Judge by their fruits. That was the foolproof way Father told us to tell who are the good trees. What are the fruits of the people you're dealing with? Whether it's family, neighbors, associates, co-workers, whatever. What is the fruit of their spirit? What is the fruit of their day-to-day activities? Because I'm telling you, this world is absolutely crazy right now. That's another reason we know we're getting close to the end of this age, this earth age, and we should be saying hallelujah for that. This nonsensical world we find, this cesspool we find ourselves in, is coming to a close. I say the sooner the better. I don't want to go back to what we lived under. It was bad then. The only thing good was the fact that you could stay drunk or high or work yourself to death and buy all the toys you wanted, so you just assumed everything was okay, because that's the limit of your scope of vision as to the state of the world, when truly it's not. We're murdering babies at an unprecedented rate. We're selling off people's body parts and babies' body parts. These are sick, demented things that you just ignored, that were going on a daily basis all around you. Only now, after 2 years of this fake pandemic and all the nonsense the New World Order, including the rhinos and the Democrats in the United States, they're both communist parties. There are no politicians on our side, folks. It's all an illusion. I sure hope you're beginning to figure that out. Remember, Yahweh put this on our heads to get us to realize that we should be calling out to Him. We should be crying out to Him and asking for Him to be our judge, our king, and our lawgiver. Okay? Not this group of scoundrels sitting in state houses and in the Washington, D.C. They're the last people on earth that should be governing. Most of them are sociopaths. Most of them are cretins. Most of them are miscreants. They certainly aren't the type of people that should be making decisions on how we live our lives. And besides that, Yahweh gave us each individual liberty and freedom to make up our own minds. And so that's why it takes courage. You have to have courage to face your adversaries. You have to have courage enough to have faith of yourself and the principles that you believe in, and courage enough to stand in the face of adversaries, sometimes even when they're part of your own family. That takes a lot of courage. So, like I said, I found some verses here, and then we're going to also read some quotes, so bear with me. I'm just checking the board. Like I said, I seem to have a intermittent recorder that likes to just all of a sudden stop on its own every now and then. So that's very frustrating. So I have to take a little pause every now and then to scan over my screens and make sure everything is still working. All right. Now, this is a verse that we often repeat because it's so apropos, but Joshua 1 verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For Yahweh God is with you wherever you go. Deuteronomy 31 6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God, Yahweh, who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I've lived that verse. In my many years of trekking on this earth and being a patriot and being a constitutionalist and being a tax protester, even before I learned my identity, and then once I learned my identity, now that was a whole nother avenue of rabbit holes I went down. And each one of these put me at odds with the people I worked with my supervisors, with the companies, with the authorities. Almost my entire adult life, I've been at odds with what's around me. And I admit it, it's not always pleasant, but you can't give up on who you are and what you believe just because it's unpleasant. But the beautiful thing is, how many times, though, somebody would come to me privately and tell me that they appreciated the fact I would not back down and wanted to learn more. I can't tell you how many Israelites I have opened their eyes as to who they are and got them into a study of identity over the years with just casual comments I made. Or I remember one particular young man that I worked with in Ohio. He was from the Navy, and he was an atheist, and his language was right out of the gutter. He couldn't say the F word enough. And one day he came up to me and said, "Dan, do you guys that debate each other at lunchtime every day, do you really believe all that?" And he was talking about our references to Scripture. I said, "Well, Jimmy, I sure do." He goes, "Well, I just don't know about that." So I reached up into my locker and I pulled out a New Testament, small one that I carried with me. And I gave it to him and I said, "Well, read it for yourself." Long story short, he went and read that cover to cover three or four times. He then came to the church I was attending at that time, and he accepted the Messiah as his Messiah, and today he's no longer working in the power industry. He is a pastor. So you see, all kinds of things can happen, and all you know is that you're planting seeds, many times completely unaware of it. But you just stick to your guns and trust that the right ears will hear what you're trying to get across, okay? It won't be the majority. Of course it won't. But even your enemies will respect you for your tenacity and your conviction, believe it or not. Even your enemies, because most of the people that kiss their ass and go along with them, they don't have any respect for them at all. They really don't. They just use them because that's their nature. But they don't have any respect for them. Communists, for instance, the communists at the top, all of which are Jews, of course, Jews, they don't respect the whites and other races that go along with what they want to do. They look at them as just simpletons, useless eaters that are looking for a handout. So even your adversary, the Jew, at times will have to at least respect your stand. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For Yahweh God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Amen. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." You know, that toxic masculinity that the feminists all love to rail against? Well, that's exactly what we should be. Act like men, not just males. A lot of these creatures walking around are simply males. They're not men. Psalm 27, verse 14, "Wait for Yahweh, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord," or Yahweh. Proverbs 28, verse 1, "The wicked flee when no one pursues them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." Remember, we said that that is our job today, to wake up the lions forget about the sheep. At this point in time, with things as ugly as they are, if they're not awake now, chances are they're never going to wake up. If they're still watching television, if they're plugged into the Matrix through watching television, you're probably never going to reach them at this point. Probably not. You should pray for them that Father Yahweh could break through, because he can break through anything. But you and I, it's not quite so easy for us to do. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That's a biblical way of saying he'll smooth out the road for you. Those twists and turns and all those detours and all, he'll straighten all that out, make your life a whole lot easier. I know he's done that for me. My faith in the Father has paid me dividends so far above what I deserve. I can't even begin to enumerate them. I really can't. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. Then David said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for Yahweh God, even my Elohim God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Remember that all things work to the good for those who love Yahweh and are called according to his purposes. We've said that many times. The safest place for any of us to be at this point in history is to be a son or daughter of the Most High. Okay? John 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. How has he overcome the world? Through you and me, ladies and gentlemen. You and I are the temple. Remember the temple of the Holy Spirit? So when we allow his spirit to take control of us, we become him on this earth. He can overcome this world if those who truly love the Father start acting like it. Be ye doers and not hearers only. When we throw off the world and we take on Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh himself, when we become those reflections of silver, he can take away the punishment. He can take away all of these tribulations. Because the purpose of the tribulations is to burn off those things that is polluting you, the dross. Psalm 31:24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for Yahweh. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Amen. He's our rock and our refuge. Ephesians 6, starting at 10, finally, be strong in Yahweh God and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, which here means the adversaries. Remember, the adversary comes in many forms. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of Yahweh God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. I can't tell you how many platforms are now addressing the fact that we're in a spiritual battle. Right now, this is a war between evil and righteous or good. It's a war. This world cannot tolerate the two opposing forces. they are totally incompatible. One is going to win. The other is going to be turned into burning brush. He's going to annihilate the other. So which side do you want to be on, folks? Psalm 112, verse 7, he is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in Yahweh God. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Yahweh God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Hallelujah. Again, you have to understand, everything happening down here is to make us into what he's always wanted us to be. Okay? Everything you see going on around you is the test for you and for me. Test. Philippians 1:28, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from Yahweh God. 1 Chronicles 22:13, then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules that the Lord God commanded Moses for Jacob Israel. Be strong and courageous. Fear not. Do not be dismayed. So let's back this up again. 1 Chronicles 22 here, verse 13. Then you will prosper if, we talked about these conditional statements that are in Scripture, and it's part of the English language. We call them if statements, if-then statements in the world of technical procedures. So you have an if-then statement, only this one starts with the then, that you will prosper. The conditions for prospering are the if statement, and that's after in this verse. If you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules that I commanded Moses for Jacob Israel. How many people contemplate or meditate on his laws on a daily basis? I dare say not a hell of a lot today. And that's why we're in the fix we're in, okay? Right now, the evil ones have risen very high, but he told us the terrors at the end of the age, right before the harvest, the terrors would be extremely tall, meaning lording over the wheat which is bowed over with golden grains of good fruit. Psalm 16:8. I have set Yahweh always before me, because he is my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:16-20. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Okay? We got these wolves running around that look like sheep, but they're wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. You could also say in social media, in the newsroom, in the universities, in the boardrooms. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles or the non-Israelites. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Heavenly Father speaking through you. I have lived that verse in the courtrooms facing our adversaries many times. And they're right. this scripture is very right. So even though you're in the midst of the wolves, in their lair, so to speak, Yahweh does not forsake you. And sometimes it's even surprising looking at it after I'd been in the courtroom and dealt with these adversaries, thinking of it later on that night or the next day, sometimes I was amazed at words that came out of my mouth. It's like, where did that come from? Father does not forsake his children. Psalm 27, verse 1, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Psalm 56, 3, 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in Yahweh God, whose word I praise. In Yahweh God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? I've got a whole pile of them here to go along with those, but I'm going to skip down here. Let's see. For these last two, Psalm 144. Blessed be Yahweh my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. So again, here in Psalm 144, my rock who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Hallelujah. You might want to add Psalm 149 to your reading list tonight to go along with this. Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Hallelujah. All right, now I wanted to read something that came from the American Militia Freedom Forces, because we're getting close to that point, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about this many, many times, that you better be thinking locally with a lot of the stuff that's going on, local solutions. But this is from Captain Carl Koenigs, who is with the American Militia Freedom Forces. I just wanted to read what he put out in a bulletin, as I think you will identify with some of it anyway. A vote for a Republican or a Democrat, or a vote for Trump, who invented red flag laws and said, take the guns first, worry about due process later, is a vote against the Second Amendment law. A vote to fund the entire deep state annually, a vote against your Article 4, Section 4, quote, Republican form of government. And a vote to have the IRS steal your lives, liberty, property, wages and salaries using powers, spending, income, and employer taxes not delegated to them under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, in capital, felony, insurrection, and treason against the Constitution and against we the people. Why in the hell of these days that try the souls of men would you vote for Republicans rather than organize to mobilize, to deploy to your state capital, or organize thousands of citizens first before deployment by camper citizen convoy, take over the state capitol grounds and 100 circling camps in an open carry demonstration, and move there with your whole family and your pets and live there forever in an open carry, likely peaceful demonstration to force and compel your state legislators and governor to sponsor and pass an exact facsimile of the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions by Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, and augment them with an arrest provision as a vital tool to state nullify all Republican, Democrat, and President usurpations of power, spending, income, and employer taxes not delegated to them in pursuance of Article 4, Section 4, the Republican form of government, 10th Amendment law and order, as are supported and defended by Supremacy Clauses 2 and 3 of Article 6. Okay, a lot of that may sound like gibberish, but he's basically pointing out that these creatures in our state and federal government today are interlopers. They are operating under the color of law, okay? Under the color of law, which means that they have no actual authority, have actually no powers. So when they come in at the point of a gun and steal your property or imprison you or any of those things, they are doing it on their own. Okay, so they're no more, they're no different than a street criminal at that point. They're no different than a MS-13 gang member or any of the other gangs out there or the Jewish organized crime figures that we hear and read about so often. Okay, everybody says Italian, but no, they weren't Italians. They were Jews from Italy, some of them, or Jews from Ireland. But every founder in this country of organized crime was Jewish. Okay, every one of them. So when you hear about the Cosa Nostra or organized crime, think of Jews, because that's who did it. Okay, isn't it funny how many things that we have in this world that formed our opinions and gave us some idea of what kind of world we lived in? It was done by Jews. They controlled the media. They controlled the printed press. They controlled organized crime. They controlled the state and federal government. They control your police forces. They control the military through the budgets and the Pentagon. They control banking. They control all of it. It's not an illusion. It's a fact. You just have to come to grips with it, folks. Everything, and William Casey, who worked, I believe it was the Reagan administration, he was the head, I believe it was the CIA. Could have been the FBI. I don't remember now. But William Casey, I remember the name, always was in the press, in the media. But he said, we will know our disinformation program is working when everything the American people believe is a lie. And they have almost literally brought us to that point. Virtually everything you've been taught from the time you were a child is a lie. At the very least, it is a distortion of reality. You were not given salient truths or points. You were given like little encapsulations or little sound bites, and then they ginned up a story so it makes it look like they're the good guys, we're the bad guys, and they create all this diversion amongst all of us, whether it's by gender, by race, age, you name it. They got us fighting each other on so many different fronts because they create all these bogus stories, just like the fake media today. Every one of these so-called shootings and everything is completely bullshit. I hope everybody listening knows that. I just watched a former federal officer. This is a federal agent. Totally destroy the whole arresting of those so-called white nationalists out in the West. And he goes through the whole process that they put in the media to show that it's completely bullshit. Okay, just like on 9/11, the people in the airline industry I know and all that completely annihilated their story. In fact, I remember when 9/11 had just happened and I was talking to people that knew, they said, you would think if you're going to pull a scam at the level of this thing, that they would have researched it a little bit. Why didn't they talk to airline pilots and flight attendants and ground crews? Why didn't they do more research into putting this thing together to make it more believable? Well, I know why they didn't. Number one, they're too lazy. They're too full of themselves. And they know that the average person out there doesn't have enough intestinal fortitude or courage to look into anything. You're just a bunch of sheep. So why bother? Why bother making it accurate? Because these idiots will believe anything we put on the screen. And it's still going on to this day. They want to take your weapons, so they're ginning up all of these so-called shooting incidences, and they're all bullshit. 1,000% bullshit. Wake the hell up. They are going full bore. If you played poker, you know what it means when somebody says, I'm all in. Like for the, they're ready to go home. They've been drinking and playing cards all night. So they've got what they think is a good hand at the end of the night. And they just push all their chips into the center of the table. And they say, I'm all in. Meaning, I'm putting everything on this play of this hand. Everything. Well, that's what these communist Jews are doing right now. They're all in. They're putting it all in. That's why they're so outlandish on the bullshit that they're pulling with these staged events, with this whole COVID bullshit story that we have a pandemic, the whole pushing of the World Health Organization and the UN. They're going for broke. They're praying that you're still as brain dead as you've been for decades and you're going to buy their bullshit story. They're hanging their whole bet on that. They're playing with all the chips into the middle of the table that they can play this out and end up being the masters of the world and you and I and our children their slaves. It's as simple as that. It's a communist insurrection on a worldwide scale. They had some practice runs when they took over the Christian Tsar and Tsarina of Russia, and they subjected the Christian Russian Empire to their atheistic, communistic, Talmudic bullshit for decades. They had a dry run with the poor people of China. Wouldn't it be nice to liberate the hardworking and honest people in China from their being under the yoke of the communists, the Jew communists? Hundreds of millions of poor people living under that bullshit regime. Wouldn't it be nice to free up the North Koreans from their regime and for the people of that are still in Vietnam, etc.? Just going to massacre all of these communists. Round them all up and massacre every one of them. Because they are the antithesis of freedom. They stand in the way of mankind living at peace and in harmony with each other. These communists are the antithesis of that. Mankind has to wake up. They're not going to go away because you wish it or you pray it. They're going to go away when man does the things he's supposed to do. I had a quote. Let me see if I still have it. This quote goes right along with what we're talking about here. Let me see if I just saved it here. Yeah, these are quotes on courage. Perhaps I should read a few of these because some of them are pretty darn good. Without courage, there cannot be truth. And without truth, there can be no other virtue. Sir Walter Scott. Courage charms us because it indicates that a man loves an idea better than all things in the world, that he is thinking neither of his bed, nor his dinner, nor his money, but will venture all to put in act the invisible thought of his mind. Ralph Waldo Emerson. A man without courage is a knife without an edge. That's an old proverb. Courage consists not in blindly overlooking danger, but in seeing and conquering it. Jean Paul. All brave men love, for he only is brave who has affections to fight for. Nathaniel Hawthorne. A man without courage is to me the most despicable thing under the sun, a travesty on the whole scheme of creation. Jack London. The best hearts are ever the bravest. Lawrence Stern. Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not the absence of fear. Mark Twain. Courage is grace under pressure. Ernest Hemingway. Now, the one I wanted to get to is down here at the bottom. So we're going to skip all those. I sent it out by email. If you didn't get it, you can contact me. This is a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Now, pay attention. Yahweh God will not have his work made manifest by cowards. Let that sink in. Ralph Waldo Emerson. God will not have his work made manifest by cowards. And this one here is by Baltazar Gracian. Knowledge without courage is sterile, meaning it has no force or effect. And this one, last one here, is Robert Louis Stevenson. Keep your fears to yourself, but share your courage with others. Remember, courage is contagious. Okay? Courage is contagious. You know, the enemy is fearful of us, whether you realize it or not. And let me recount a story. This goes back to the years when I was in the den of thieves in the middle of their courts doing battle. And I remember in this particular case, me and some of the men, the identity men in that local area, we decided to go to court to give moral courage and to assist a brother who was in a desperate fight with the corrupt authorities. And I remember we all came dressed very nicely, and we had bought these hats. They were black hats, and they had the word remnant across the front in gold letters, the remnant. And the word remnant was spelt normally, except that the T was in the form of a cross. And I remember that we went into the courtroom. We were approached by troopers and various court individuals who wanted to know what our hats were all about. They were just fixated on these hats. It just... You could tell that they were fearful. They were actually fearful. They just didn't know how to take it. Plus, we walked in with writing tablets and recording devices, because back then you could record what was going on. And we also carried Bibles. And before the court convened, the men, we got together at one of the seating areas near where our friend was. And we had a prayer session. This freaked the people out at the courtroom. It freaked them out. This shows you the state of America, folks, that a group of men, clean-cut, well-dressed, carrying Bibles, no threat to anybody, and just wearing hats, identifying themselves as Yahweh's remnant, terrified these people. You could see it. They were terrified. Let's think about that. We didn't have any weapons, bullets, knives, machetes, swords. What are these cowards that represent the New World Order? What are they going to do when our men actually show up for battle? Think about that hard now. They were intimidated by a handful of white guys with Bibles and little black hats that said Remnant. It terrified them. What are they going to do when we come in camouflage and we've got body paint on our faces and we have bayonets, knives, and rifles loaded with bullets? They're going to shit themselves, quite frankly, because they've been dealing with cowards and pushovers for so long, they don't know what it's like to actually fight a bunch of pissed off white guys, lions of our race. They don't know. They've never had to do it because we've been backing up as long as I've been alive. Every time they cross a line, we just draw a new one and we keep backing up. They don't know what it's like to fight a real fight. They don't. So let that sink in. When the real fighting starts, everybody thinks we need these huge numbers and everything. No, you don't. You got to remember, we're still here and we haven't even showed up for the game yet. This has been a war for the minds of the people. The real fighting hasn't even started yet. They've been doing all the killing, not our side. They've been throwing our people into gulags and dungeons, not our side. Not yet, anyway. And yet we're still here. Praise Yahweh for that. What are they going to do when we start taking names? We start kicking in their doors. We start zip-tying them and throwing them into paddy wagons to haul them down in front of tribunals and citizens' grand juries. What do you think these sycophants and these cretins that run the show today are going to do when real men, not these pretenders, not these assholes running for office that claim that they're going to do all this and that. I'm talking about the real warriors, like the ones that were kicked out of the military by Obama and the other pieces of shit like him. When they surface and the real men at arms, the ones that really know how to be warriors and not these little, I'll call it like it is, these little pussies that we have in uniform today. Not all of them, don't get me wrong, not all of them, but there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. The real ones have been preparing for a long time, below the radar screen, just waiting for Father to give the green light. And I truly believe that the waiting won't be much longer. One more note here real quick, though. Remember we said the KISS method, keep it simple, silly. You make your preparations, as we read in that one article, mentally. You must work to toughen up yourself mentally. You also must work to toughen up your bodies. Okay? Stop pampering yourselves. Start slowly getting yourself used to not having everything that you're used to having. Okay? Cut back. Besides, a lot of our folks are carrying an extra 20 to 50 pounds they don't need anyway. Start cutting back. Now, I'm fortunate. I've been blessed. The Father has done this to me, and I didn't even know it was being done. I just all of a sudden realized one day I'm not eating very much and I'm actually feeling better. And the waistline is way down and the body is trimmer and leaner. And wow, what happened? Well, part of it's because going completely organic, you don't need as much food. So you don't need as many calories. It's a theory I had for a lot of years, and it's proven to be true. If you're putting the right things in your body, you find out that your hunger mechanism shuts off. And your poor body, just like this poor earth that's looking for some rest time. It's being abused on a daily basis. So is your body and its digestive system. You don't ever give it a break. Our ancestors did. Fasting used to be something that was practiced. It was good for you. We knew that. Today, people act like, oh my God, I didn't have three whole meals today. I think I'm going to starve to death. No, you're not. Your body might breathe a little sigh of relief and say, thank God, this eating machine finally gave me a break. You've got some time to prepare. You better do it. And like I said, everybody for years, and this isn't my opinion, this is the military people I talk to, just envision everything that you've been used to ceasing to exist. Electric, water, protection from police and fire departments. All the things that you believe are normal and guaranteed to you disappearing. What do you need on hand right there where you're at, accessible in that scenario? Obviously, food, shelter, some clothing, some means of filtering water, okay? Weapons, you choose whatever kind of weapons you want, but weapons of some kind. And if the weapons need things like ammunition, you better have some of that put away. And I would have some primitive weapons handy. Most of the men I know have some swords, spears, bow and arrow, crossbows, lances, battle axes, maces, machetes, combat knives. There's a lot of things that double as a tool in your shed that, in the right circumstances, could be converted to a weapon very quickly. But the most important thing that was taught to me years ago, having these weapons in your home doesn't mean a damn thing if you're not mentally prepared to use them. Mentally prepared to sink that blade into another person's flesh. Being prepared to pull the trigger and send a bullet into another individual. Because these people mean to kill you and me and our families. They've proven they have no respect for life other than their own. So you have to mentally prepare yourself. Okay, that being said, that's pretty much everything I had for tonight. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We pray that the music is uplifting, and we pray that the message will reach those that it's meant for. We ask that you forgive us our shortcomings, our stumblings, our not coming through where we should, our not behaving as we should, and not following your laws as we should. We're attempting to forsake what our ancestors did when they asked for man-made government. We repent of that, Father Yahweh. We knew that was a gigantic mistake, and we now want you, you and you alone, to be our king, judge, and lawgiver. You and you alone. And to forsake all of these man-made institutions that are full of corruption and lies and deception. Sick perversion all around us because nobody's enforcing your law. Help our men. Pour out that spirit Ezekiel told us about. Pour it out and turn our sheep into lions, Father. Make that valley of dead and dry bones come alive so that we can put the wicked in the ground where they belong and restore this poor world to the pristine condition that it could have. And let men free. Let men and women be free upon the land as it was intended, with a minimal amount of government and judges, righteous men as judges to handle disputes. That's all we need. And again, we ask your forgiveness for our ancestors, what they did, and the fact that we've gone along with it for this long. We ask for forgiveness for not avenging the innocent blood that has already been shed. Help us to be men and warriors again, Father Yahweh. Raise up the lions amongst our people. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, Yahweh. And protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.
righteousness had he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house,
my Bermudas and my sunglasses, said adios to corporate assets, got my pesos in my pocket, Femina Nueva Casa. I've got my freedom that's got me smiling, got my sombrero that's got me styling. Que pasa, amigo? It's time to take it slow. Mañana será otro día. I think I'm moving to Mexico. I'm sick and tired of all this snow. Been stuck in traffic for an hour or more. I just gotta get away. Yeah, yeah. I wanna go where the blue waters flow, where the time goes nobody knows, and feel the hot sand between the toes. I think I'm moving to Mexico. I like tortillas and fajitas, enchiladas and tequila. Say hola to my new best friends, Jose and Margarita. We'll be laying in the hot sun in Los Cabos. Sail away all my troubles. Dos cerveza, por favor. Then bring a couple more. Mañana será otro día. I think I'm moving to Mexico. I'm
sick and tired of all this snow. Been stuck in traffic for an hour or more. I just gotta get away. I wanna go where the blue waters flow, where the time goes nobody knows, and feel the hot sand between my toes. I think I'm moving to Mexico.
Gotta build a bridge, I gotta climb that wall.